When someone in your family is going through depression, it's hard to know what to say, and I said everything wrong. I'm Sam. Our family went through it, and I just kept saying, come on, let's get it together. The thing I should have been saying is, let's get you to the center, a place of hope. It's a place for you or a place for someone you love who's struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, eating disorders. So many success stories. It's personal to me. They've actually saved the lives of people I love. If you felt like, I don't know what to do to dig out of this really dark place, and you've tried everything and you can't think of what to do next, make a phone call right now. Call the Center, a Place of Hope.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for the Center, a Place of Hope. The number is 888-726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a number of people, a great number of people, to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at the Center, a Place of Hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you.
Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. And on behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, thanks for listening. If you enjoy today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit AACCFoundation.org to donate. Your gift will ensure that this program and your station remain on the air. Now, let's join our host, Dr. Tim Clinton.
Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family. My guest, Kristen Hawkins. Kristen, welcome back. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Tim.
Hey, what a big week and weekend up in Washington, D.C. By the way, freezing up there. Oh, my goodness. I about froze to death. But hey, this is the annual 52nd March for Life rally weekend launched by, Nellie Gray way back. What a weekend, Kristen. A big weekend for you.
Absolutely. This is a massive weekend, not only for our ministry at Students for Life, which is reaching young people and trying to captivate them and encourage them and educate them in how to stay involved in this movement when they go home and save lives and help women. But it's also an important moment every year for the national pro-life movement to come together, to continue to be that voice on Capitol Hill. As you know, Dr. Clinton, that the Congress just started, and there's a lot of important things that GOP leadership wants to advance. We've got 4 years just to work backwards at some of the destructive policies of the Biden-Harris administration, but then also to move forward our country. And so it's been tough on Capitol Hill recently, even since the election, of really making it known that this should be a priority for the incoming Trump administration, for the GOP leadership. And so that's why having 100,000 plus people in Washington, D.C., marching up Constitution Avenue, ending at the U.S. Capitol, is extremely important, because we need to remind our leadership that the abortion issue is not over. Abortion is still happening at largely the same rate as it did before Roe versus Wade was overturned.
There's a new energy in that town. I'm telling you, I've never seen anything like it. The March for Life just packed out. I'm telling kids, by the way, that pro-life generation showing up in mass. Kristen, you also hold a major event in Washington. You're at the JW Marriott. You're packed out. It's that pro-life summit you host. What, Charlie Kirk, Ben Carson, Kaylee McEnany, Abby Johnson, Bethany Hamilton, just a few of them showing up there. But tell us about what's been happening in that event and how electrifying it is.
It's amazing. We are completely sold out, even of the overflow rooms. I'm getting complaints because people, you know, waited till the last minute for tickets. So I'm trying to sneak people in everywhere I can. This is a great problem to have in the pro-life movement, that we continue to sell out year after year of primarily young people, but there's activists of all ages who are coming together and want to spend a day to learn and to really strategize with other activists across the country about how we can, you know, not only be persistent in this journey, but also innovative and effective and whimsical. There's so many different amazing breakout sessions and speakers. I encourage folks to go to prolifesummit.com. You can tune into the live stream. You can watch the replay of the event, and it's amazing to see it. And you've seen it yourself, Tim. But I think it's hard to explain to people the energy of having 1,600 majority young people packed in a room who've spent a whole day out in the cold marching for life, who are now, they get it. They're activated. They know they can make a difference. And now, you know, they're coming there to learn how.
Kristen, we have a new sheriff in town, President Donald J. Trump, who, by the way, was the very first sitting president to attend a March for Life rally back in his first administration. Kristen, in the middle of all of it, that Biden-Harris administration, pro-abortion, no, they were even pro-infanticide, unbelievable. And what they did was horrific. Are you hopeful? What are you anticipating? Where do you see us going?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of hope. You know, we're still waiting on some executive orders from President Trump for the pro-life movement. Some of those orders are simply reinstating policies, you know, Reagan-era style policies that were in place his first administration. And we're also hopeful for some of his, you know, nominees, the cabinet. You know, Robert Kennedy Jr. Is not considered a pro-life activist. I don't think he would call himself pro-life. But there's a lot we can work with him on, specifically talking about the scourge of chemical abortion, the leading cause of abortion death in our country. That's not only killing hundreds of thousands of children, it's killing women, it's maiming them, rendering them infertile. But we're also have proven the human remains of these children, the pregnancy tissue that is then flushed in the toilets after women are having these abortions at home, are chemically tainted. They have active endocrine disruptors that are flowing into our wastewater systems that are now present in our U.S. drinking water. This is a meeting I'm very excited to have with RFK Jr. as soon as he is confirmed, because this is a common ground issue. And I think there's a lot of progress we can make with, you know, officials that maybe haven't been with us historically in the pro-life movement, yet aren't hostile to the truth and they're willing to learn the truth. But we've got work to do. I'd like to see the president make ending abortion more of a priority. He said in the campaign trail, Tim, that he believes abortion now to be merely a state issue. I disagree. I don't think your human rights begin or end at a trivial state line. However, if the president is serious about this new view he has about the pro-life movement, then he must join us to debar and defund Planned Parenthood, the nation's leading abortion vendor that receives over $700 million of our taxpayer dollars.
Kristen, people talk about this again, going to the states. We had the Dobbs decision. You know what? We overturned Roe. But I think the theme this weekend has been strong. The fight is not over. It's really just beginning. Kristen, there's so much going on. If there's a time that people need to step up and into this movement, it's right now. I mean, this is a moment.
You're absolutely right, Tim. You know, this is something that I preached for years going into the reversal of Roe, that the ending of Roe was the beginning of the end of abortion, the beginning of the end, because immediately this became a 50-state battle. Today, our Students for Life staff and students are on a number of capitals, state capitals, advancing pro-life laws, because now we have to fight in 50 states plus Washington, D.C. to end the violence of legal abortion. And we're up against a lot. We have a mainstream media, you know, for years We've had social media elites suppressing information, allowing the misinformation of Hollywood, Planned Parenthood, the fear-mongering, pervade the thoughts of our young people. We have First Amendment violations going on college and high school campuses across the country. University administrators trying to simply silence information about fetal development or where women can turn if they choose not to go to Planned Parenthood, if they want to choose a nonviolent healthcare clinic. So there's so much to be done. And it's not just in Washington. It's at your state capitol. It's in your community. It's at your local high school and college campus.
Kristen, this week, President Trump signed an executive order. J6ers are all out of prison, et cetera. I know something passionate in your heart is this pro-life, what we saw come against pro-life protest. I mean, they were out there standing for life, and they get in prison. You talk about political prisoners. What were 21 of them or so are in prison? This is a piece that's important to you.
Absolutely. And this is something we've been pushing the president on, even in the campaign. And he promised in August of 2024 that he would release these pro-life prayer warriors, some of them who are elderly, in their 80s, grandmothers. There's a Holocaust survivor literally sitting in federal prison. And, you know, I know President Trump knows firsthand the effect of lawfare, of weaponization of our Department of Justice, but that's exactly what we had. We had a gentleman, Mark Houck, who's a father of, I think, 6 or 7 children in Philadelphia. The FBI raided his home on a Saturday morning, guns drawn, to arrest him because an abortion clinic volunteer who had spewed hatred towards his children reported him for violence, which was not even correct at all. For hours, no one knew where he had been taken, where he was being held. I mean, this is stuff that you would think would only happen in Venezuela, right? A third world dictatorship. This is what's been happening in the United States of America for the past 4 years. And President Trump needs to uphold his promise and ensure that these pro-life prayer warriors are released from prison immediately.
Kristen, I'm going to go back to RFK Jr. just for a second. What I like about the Trump administration, there are so many people dialing in positions of influence that you're right. If we can get them to the table, have an opportunity where it's just come, let us reason together. Let's develop plans, strategies. Let's move in that direction. I'm encouraged deeply by that. We've got to do this work.
That's right. And then no one said abolishing abortion, making abortion completely illegal and unthinkable was going to be an easy task. And if you ever thought that, or someone ever told you that, then you probably shouldn't have been listening to them in the first place. And I mean, we've got to get to work and we've got to convince this new administration why they should be with us, why this is common sense. We had a poll released just earlier last week at our Demetri Institute for Pro-Life Advancement. We do an annual poll with YouGov and some other polling companies, secular polling companies of Gen Z and Gen Y voters. So this is the almost half of our electorate. This is a huge group of people. They are the future leaders of our country, asking them how they feel about abortion, whether they're pro-life, pro-choice. And it's amazing, you know, 9 out of 10 of these young people, half of which were, you know, considered Democrats or liberals, agreed that there should be common sense protections for women on chemical abortion pills, something that the Biden FDA completely threw out the window in the name of access. Right before the Roe v. Wade decision came down, the overturn of the decision came down in 2022, the FDA, anticipating that Roe was going to be reversed, completely ended all Clinton, Obama era restrictions on these drugs that weren't restrictions, sadly, to save lives of children, but were there to preserve the health and the fertility of women mothers who had been taking these pills. They got rid of all of them.
Kristen, you have 1,400 or so chapters of Students for Life all across America, all 50 states, colleges and universities. Talk to us about what's been happening and why this is so significant and why you're around colleges and universities.
Well, going to college campuses and high school campuses is critical for the pro-life movement. It's critical for really any social movement that's out there. Because if you look back at the history of social reform efforts throughout our nation's history, you know, there's varying tactics, varying issues. But one thing was always, I think, constant, in that the side that wins, the victor, always has the largest, most well-trained, and most activated army. And that's really our job. That's our singular job at Students for Life. That is our niche, if you will, within the pro-life movement, that I wake up every morning with that goal in mind of how do we continue to build this army of love, activate them, and send them out. And we're singular focused on that. While there's so many different areas of work we have to engage in the pro-life movement, whether it's legal or political or service or simply educational. There's so many different things we must do to end abortion. There is no silver bullet. But one thing is very clear: in all of those areas, we need the people.
Kristen, as we look at these campuses, you begin to think, boy, oh boy, what we've seen over the last year or two is unreal. These protests, the insanity, but flooding into the hearts and minds of our kids. We've got to have presence because these kids are up against it at these state and secular universities. I mean, they really are.
No, I mean, and you think about, you know, the other reason you have to mobilize young people is they're the ones most directly targeted by the abortion industry, right? They're the ones being talked to by the Planned Parenthood officials that enter their elementary and middle schools. They're the ones being marketed to by the abortion industry, by Hollywood elites, by the mainstream media on social media, where they spew misinformation and fear-mongering about the status of abortion laws or what abortion really is. These young people are really at the front lines, because when you think about Planned Parenthood's predatory business model, they rely on scared young people. That is how they continue to make their profit from abortion in our country. When you think about the fact that Planned Parenthood is now the second largest distributor of wrong sex hormones for our young people, that are literally sterilizing these confused and hurting young people, once again, they are making a profit off of scared, hurting young people, whether they're gender confused, whether they're facing an unplanned pregnancy, whether they think they might have an STD. Planned Parenthood is there to make a profit off them.
What's wild, too, is the majority of abortions are performed on women under the age of 25, yet those who are out there, quote, advocating for abortion rights, etc., they're way over that age. It's wild to me. And here we know that the majority of Americans want some type of restriction on this. The battle continues to just rage. And as you press in, are you encouraged by what you're seeing on college campuses, really? I mean, go back to your chapters and everything that's going on, the reports you're getting from the front lines. What's coming in, and what moves your heart the most?
I think it's interesting is when you sit down with Gen Z and Gen Y young voters, which are, you know, a huge chunk of our electorate. We just did a poll at our Demetri Institute for Pro-Life Advancement that we release every January. Ending abortion, getting young people to be on board with supporting abortion, restrictive legislation, protection legislation, isn't as hard as you think. In fact, when you poll pro-choice and pro-life young people and you ask them, if every woman had resources that she needed, would you be willing to vote for politicians who would vote to limit abortion? The vast majority, more than 7 in 10, will say yes. More than 6 in 10 want to see, and this is young people, remember, these are the ones most targeted by the abortion industry with their propaganda. More than 6 in 10 want to see restrictions and limits on abortion. So it's not as bad as you think. I think it can definitely be challenging. You have a vocal minority on campuses who will come to pro-life events, erase our students' chalk or flip up our tables, or who will come and scream and yell at me when I'm there on campuses. But often these are the most hurting young people that we see on campuses, right? They've made an abortion decision in their past. They know someone who's hurting from a past abortion. And so you always have to keep that in mind. But you're right, Tim. I think it's really interesting is when we go to the, you know, women's marches, or I think this year they renamed it the People's March. It's not the young people that I have to have my bodyguards watching, right? When I'm at one of these events or my students are there, we have security. I help have my bodyguards really watching for the young people who could come up and hurt us. It's actually older women.
Yep.
It's often women in their 60s or beyond who've sadly have, you know, it's very clear they've at some point in their life have made a decision to end the life of their child. Hearing somebody or seeing somebody who's out there saying abortion is a human rights violation, abortion is anti-feminist, that no woman should be forced to choose between the life of her child and her education or her career. Hearing that is very triggering to them. It's hurtful to them because they themselves haven't healed from this decision and the regrets that they have about the decision to have an abortion.
You know, at the end of the day, Kristen, I want to make sure our audience hears this. The pro-life movement is winning. It's amazing. And we're seeing restrictions put in place, and we're winning even at the state level. It's exciting to see the movement that's going on. More than we can imagine. That's encouraging. The abortion pill, however, is a challenge in the midst of this storm. Kristen, help us understand this and then how we need to engage this, because this is the big battleground right now.
Absolutely. Chemical abortions are the leading cause of infant death in our world and our country today. When we were getting ready to see the end of Roe, the Biden administration worked with the abortion industry to completely deregulate all common sense restrictions on these chemical abortion pills. So not only are they killing children, but now they're killing, harming, and rendering women infertile. They are the drug of choice of sex abusers who want to cover up their crimes. These pills and the chemically tainted human remains and placental tissue that are flushed into our wastewater systems, because you have to think, with a chemical abortion and hundreds of thousands of chemical abortions happening here, there are tons, literal tons of endocrine disruptors being entering into our water streams, which we know water treatment plants aren't catching, meaning they're flowing into our tap water. This is a very, very dangerous situation. You may think, I live in a red state. You may think, you know, abortion's not a problem here. There's no freestanding abortion clinic. That does not mean chemical abortions aren't flowing your state. In fact, this is That's why right. the Biden administration set up the system. There are random people in their basements in New York and California mailing chemical abortion pills to your children, to your grandchildren, to your daughter's rapist in your state, and you have no idea. And the FDA, the Biden administration has created this wild, wild west situation. Even if you don't agree with me, even if you support legal abortion, this should be concerning to every single American.
Kristen, let's close this way. Again, winning. It's amazing. It's very exciting. What a wild week up in Washington and freezing again. Wahoo! But at the same time, our hearts are warm because God's moving like we've never seen before. If people want to engage, let's go to the website. Tell us again, where can people learn more about you, Students for Life, and how can they get engaged?
Sure. You can follow Students for Life on all social media channels. You can follow me, Kristen Hawkins, on social media. And also go to studentsforlife.org. Subscribe to my podcast on iTunes and Spotify, The Kristen Hawkins Show. I'll keep you updated with everything you need to know. If you want to get my daily news alerts, so you can figure out how you can figure out where you should start, get involved, you can just text my name, Kristen, to 53445, and you'll get actually a daily news text from me about something you need to know what's going on in the pro-life movement.
Kristen Hawkins, President, Students for Life. Hey, we're praying for you and everything that's going on. God be with you. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
If someone in your family has depression or anxiety, it's hard to know what to do. We went through that. I'm Sam. The center is a place of hope. Lives are being healed. God is changing families.
Coming to the center, it's just life-altering. My relationship with my husband, my relationship with my family.
Struggling to keep it all together, or no one knows, or you're hiding things, or you feel like you've hit some crisis.
It's amazing to think that there could be so much change.
Man, I'm so grateful for the center. It's so helpful for me, and I'm so hopeful.
The center, a place of hope. Call today. A lot of people are surprised that insurance can help cover this.
Dive in, give yourself all to it. Watch what happens.
Call the Center, a Place of Hope, right now.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for the Center, a Place of Hope. The number is 888-726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a number of people, a great number of people, to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at the center. A place of hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you.